name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Today we celebrate the feast of the presentation of our Lord Jesus in the temple, this story that we just heard in our gospel reading. This feast is celebrated on the 2nd of February, which means it doesn't often fall on a Sunday. Also, there aren't many feasts that we celebrate on a Sunday instead of our normal Sunday propers, but this is one of them, sort of like Christmas and Epiphany. This is one of the oldest feasts in the church. There's an account of its celebration from the 4th century in Jerusalem, where it had nearly the same solemnity as Easter. The presentation is celebrated on the 2nd of February because that is 40 days after Christmas. And so Mary's maternity leave was ending. In Leviticus chapter 12, there was a command to present the child in the temple to offer a sacrifice. And we have analogous prayers in our own prayer book on page 439, the prayers of thanksgiving for the birth or adoption of a child. This feast, as Steve reminded me on his way in, is also called Candlemas. Candlemas was a tradition when houses were lit by candles. You might bring all the candles at the beginning of the year to the church to be blessed, so that all year long, when you lit a candle in the house, you could remember that Jesus is the light of the world. It is also a tradition for some who may not have gotten around to taking down the Christmas decorations at Epiphany to take them down at Candlemas. 40 days. That's a good amount of time. And finally, I have read that there was a German tradition that if the sun shone on Candlemas, that was a sure sign there would be a second winter. And the way that you could tell if the sun was shining bright enough for that to be true was if the groundhog saw its shadow. I understand that there was a large number of Germans who moved to Pennsylvania, including Bill Murray, apparently. One other lovely thing about the Feast of the Presentation is that we get to meet Simeon and Anna. As we heard this morning, these paragons of faith and devotion waiting in the temple for God's consolation. And from Simeon, we receive the Nunc Dimittis, the canticle that we use in evening prayer each week, each day. Evening prayer, which you can find the canticle on page 120 in your prayer book, and we will come back to it in a few minutes. But Simeon and Anna are models for us of Christian expectation, Christian readiness, even Christian fulfillment. Simeon and Anna remind us that death for a Christian is not scary. Right, that you might say the purpose of faith is to be shaped so that we can find confidence that we rest in God, whether in life or in death. It doesn't even matter. And that's where our second reading takes us, the Epistle to the Hebrews. It says, since God's children share flesh and blood, Jesus himself likewise shared the same things, so that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. Slavery by the fear of death. I'm struck by how many, besides Christians, have festivals of lights during the wintertime. Right? Maybe you've heard of Hanukkah or Diwali, right? These feasts of lights during the wintertime. And for Christians, it's not just Christmas, right? We have Candlemas, obviously about lights. We also have the Feast of St. Lucy, which is a little creepy, about a young girl with candles arranged in her hair. But these festivals of light during the winter, because the darkness of winter speaks to us of death. And it's a little scary. Winter can be deadly for those who are exposed to the cold, or those who are unprepared with food stored away for the winter. And even for we who can sit inside a warm house with plenty to eat, we look out the window and the world appears to have died. All the plants are dormant, all the animals are hiding, except for the squirrels. And so this fear of darkness, this fear of death, this can be a controlling force in many lives. Sometimes we make our decisions, on a basis of concern about scarcity. Right? Sometimes we hold jobs that are slowly killing us because we feel desperate and needy, like we can't do without them. Sometimes we hold on to relationships that are unhealthy or even toxic because we're afraid of the alternative. So many of us tend to find ourselves held in the thrall of shame or guilt or regret. We live with unexamined pain in our lives, holding it at arm's length because we're afraid that if we look at it, it might engulf us and we might not find our way out. I think that speaks to our culture's kind of mixed reception of Black History Month. Right? There's this tradition of honoring Black history during February, a time to right some of the wrongs of a history that has been whitewashed at times. How the contributions of people of color in our country have often been ignored or are written out of our histories. How the evils of slavery and anti-Black discrimination have been ignored, held as psychologically dangerous, something we don't want to look at. But there have been dark winters of injustice in our nation and in our world, and the pernicious effects of those dark winters linger on, continuing to have a real impact in our lives and in our nation. And the point of the gospel, the point of Jesus suffering and dying and rising to new life again, was that Jesus showed us there is a way through the darkness, a way through that dark winter. Jesus literally experienced death. He had a terrible experience of death. And like the dark nights of winter, Jesus showed us that death, even death, is not a permanent condition. That there's life on the other side, that God will have God's way, and that God's way is a kind and loving and life-giving way. And so the invitation is for us to see the darkness, to acknowledge it, and to pass through it bravely. In faith that the reach of the darkness is limited, that God is not only waiting for us on the other side of some mysterious dark tunnel, but in Jesus Christ, God showed us that God is, in fact, walking alongside us, our companions on the way, guiding us safely through. So here at Candlemas, the days are already getting longer. The sun is rising earlier, it's setting later. And this cycle of seasons, where we have increasing darkness and then we return to the light, this cycle of seasons is a beautiful illustration of God's design in the whole world. It's part of the cycle of our lives, where life is difficult sometimes. We face challenges, we face regrets, and we are invited to receive those challenges, to die to self-protection, to face the darkness, to acknowledge what has been wrong, and with Jesus at our side, to find our way through. The Christian life is the life that practices this pattern, learns its rhythm, integrates it so that it can be a part of us, until at last we find that we can say with St. Simeon the words of the Nunc Dimittis. And so I'm going to invite you to pull out a prayer book, open it to page 120, stand as you are able, and let us say together the Nunc Dimittis, the Song of Simeon.
Lord,
You now have set your servant free to go in peace as you have promised. For these eyes of mine have seen the Savior, whom you have prepared for all the world to see, a light to enlighten the nations and the glory of your people Israel. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.